Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now listening to the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for football analysis from the best fantasy players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak.
Episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com and the 2012 Olympics on NBC. Be sure to tune in to Bob Costa's heart-wrenching tales of previously unknown athletes overcoming random obstacles on their path to about 2 weeks of short-lived glory. The Summer Olympics on NBC start July 27th. Holy cow, you know, I thought Balky wasn't going to be on tonight because Eric Balkman, he was going to be at Rock USA in Oshkosh. So I see he's calling in, actually. I swear, you know, Motley Crue's going on in an hour. Let's see if he's drunk again like he was last week. Hey, Balky, are you calling in?
First of all, I was not drunk last week. Second of all, I am not drunk this week.
Not yet, right?
I'm getting there. I was just so excited to talk to Kotrax this past week. So maybe my excitement just over-modified my voice. I think that's a possibility. But I know that Mike Krucek and Joe Delzanero, Baker Boy, and 4D, unrespectively, are coming on in like 10 minutes. So I figured if I was going to call in at all, now would be the time to do it. So I felt if you wanted to rap for like 2 or 3 minutes, I have time right now. We had Kinder get off the stage about an hour ago. Tesla is coming up next, and Motley Crue is going to be following them in about an hour and a half. So I had a little time to talk, and I felt like, you know, Javier from Terre Haute and Javier from Fort Wayne, they deserve better, okay? I can't just take 2 weeks off. So I felt I should call in now, and you and I can rap about whatever you want for the next 120 seconds.
Well, this is nice because it's almost like you're like a news guy calling in from the scene here, on the site, wherever you're at.
Can you hear what's going on in the background right now? I can't tell.
It's not bad. It's just like a little bit of, you know, it's not like you sound like you're in a war zone or anything like that. It's fine.
I tried to call far away from the stage. Tesla literally just started 40 seconds ago. I will be heading there shortly. But yeah, I'm calling far away from the stage, but I didn't want to deprive anybody of anything, so I felt I would call in. Is there anything that you want to talk about with me? Is there any Michael Turner hate that we need to discuss?
No, you know, I don't have Turner on the schedule this week, actually, so I think we're okay, actually.
Oh, excellent. That's perfect.
I got an email from the NAACP about the Kotrax interview, so, you know, I want to heartily apologize if there is any problems there. Their attorney, Todd Hunter, had a few complaints that he emailed over, so I'm going to make, you know, my most heartfelt apologies. That was supposed to be a setup gag, and then Kotrax froze like a deer in the headlights, and he was gonna give me some Rodney King love and stuff like that. So, you know, that kind of went awry. But hey, you know, you got to give it a shot, right?
You know, if he suckered us into getting some trouble with some affirmative action people, that's what happened.
Yeah, I know exactly. I mean, that's unbelievable. So anyway, tonight we're gonna talk about Chan Gailey, how he hates fantasy owners. And I wasn't going to talk about why the Saints need a pony up dough for Drew Brees, but apparently they saw our preview, and they signed him. They signed him to the deal. So, you know, that's pretty cool. We also got two second-round busts that you want to avoid, and who in the hell is Josh Gordon, and should you care about him?
What do you want to talk about? I can talk about any one of those topics.
Well, let's talk about Chan Gailey, first and foremost. So he came out and said this week that, that neither one of those guys is going to be happy. You know, Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller, neither one is going to be happy.
You know what, our policy, Dave, when you and I have talked about this in teams we've co-owned before, when we're not sure of which guy is going to get the lion's share of the carries and we're not sure which guy is going to be worth his ADP, you know what we usually do with them?
Screw up the pick?
we screw up the pick, obviously, but what do we do with the like, for instance, Buffalo running backs this year? You know what we're probably going to do with them?
I would take Spiller. I'd take the upside guy.
I wouldn't even do that. I wouldn't even mess around with it.
Oh, you're putting him on ignore. Are you treating it like a Shanahan backfield?
Totally. It's like a Patriots backfield. It's like an old-school Broncos backfield with Shanahan. I think... Now, granted, Fred Jackson is going in, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Fred Jackson is going in the early fifth, late fourth round, and C.J. Spiller is going, like, two rounds after that. I could see taking C.J. Spiller as my RB3 in, like, round seven or, like, early round eight, maybe. But, I mean, I got to have some rock-solid RB1s and RB2s on my team in order to do that. I just feel like if you take him in the seventh or eighth round, I mean, you're basing your whims on a guy who, like, is already telling you, like, look, I don't know which guy I'm going to roll with. I don't know which guy is going to be healthy. I don't know which guy is going to be good. And I feel like in the seventh, eighth round, high-stakes fantasy football hour listeners, you can do better, okay? We've told you guys that you can get in that area. And those are the guys you should be targeting. You shouldn't be targeting guys.
Marcel Reese just said that he's seen Freddie Jackson go as early as the late second round.
Oh, my God, that's terrible. I mean, that's terrible for whoever drafts him, but that's great for you if you're picking in, like, the early third round, because you're going to scoop up the scraps of whatever that guy in the early or in the late second round took. You're going to be scooping up some value there. So I'm staying away, but, again, this is mid-July. I mean, a lot can change until then. Fred Jackson has, what, another 7 weeks to pull his hammy, to tear a hamstring, to tear a quad. He's got a lot of time to do that. So we'll see what happens, but right now I'm staying away.
So let's talk about Drew Brees a little bit. Drew Brees just signed. Man, this is a deal right here. He signed a five-year, $100 million contract. So let's break it down just a little bit. Average salary is $20 million. It did save them $6 million in cap space than if they had signed the franchise tender. But he got a $37 million signing bonus with a $3 million base salary this year. So it's a $10 million cap hit. Dude, $37 million. What do you think of that, huh? That's
pretty
solid.
It's interesting because the concert I'm at right now, the real Leroy Corson, is also at, and we got a chance to rap a little bit about the Drew Brees contract. And I think it's interesting that you give $40 million to a quarterback that had, I don't know how many seasons, two or three in San Diego, and he basically washed out there. And you're giving him $40 million in 1 year, which is insane to me. But I think the thing that's important here and that everybody needs to look at, New Orleans, the Saints revolve around Drew Brees, and the fact that they kind of jerked him around for a couple of months here did not sit well with the fan base. I have plenty of Saints fans who live in Louisiana, and they were really ticked off about how the organization treated Drew Brees. And I think the fact that you give him 40...
You have a lot of Saints fans that you know in Louisiana. That's cool. I didn't know that.
Dude, Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, they're all over. You have no idea how far the bulky scope goes.
You do have a lot of Twitter and Facebook friends. Yeah. You're friends with Bill Brunson on Facebook, man. That's impressive. You're like far-reaching.
I am far-reaching, and I hit up the bulky followers, everybody who is a Saints fan down there, and I talk to them, and they're like, yeah, man, I was really ticked off at how New Orleans treated Drew Brees. But, you know, the fact that they're giving him $40 million in 1 year, that restores all my faith in the Saints. It restores all my faith in what the Saints had in Drew Brees, that they believe in this guy to get it done. And now it's like, you know, there was never a contract dispute. Because, I mean, really, how are you going to go against the team that is giving $40 million to the guy that won you a Super Bowl a couple of years ago? This is a great deal for the Saints. This is a great deal for Brees. And honestly, Dave, you and I have talked about this. We never really changed our stance on Drew Brees. But the fact of the matter is the people who got him late in 77s and satellites and everything that went on with the FFPC the last month, they got a fantastic deal on him, and they're going to reap the benefits in December.
You know, and that, you know, if there's one person Drew Brees should send like $100,000 to, that's Mr. Neck over there, Peyton Manning. I mean, he got $19.2 million coming off a neck injury. The guy's old as dirt. 19-2, man, that's like an Allen Houston signing with the Knicks, the 6 years, $100 million deal they gave that guy. I still think the Peyton Manning deal is a mistake. I think that was a terrible decision. And then another quarterback I want to touch on is Aaron Rodgers. He I believe, is only making $12.7 million. And, Brees really has now set the bar for Rodgers. He signed through 2014. But if the Packers are smart, they better get on the horn with him and get their crap together and get Aaron Rodgers signed to an extension soon.
It really sucks because I'm a Packers honk, and I know that the whole Packers football team revolves around the success and health of Aaron Rodgers. And they signed him to such a sweetheart deal originally that I knew that they would be set for the next couple of years. But now that guys like Drew Brees, Peyton Manning have really broken the bank for what they should have done given their age and given their experience, I know that the Packers are going to have to pay through the nose for Aaron Rodgers. And let's face it, Packers fans, if they let Aaron Rodgers go, or you know, if they choose not to sign with a big deal, look who is waiting in the wings. Graham effing Harrell. That's awful. So you know that the Packers are going to have to do whatever they can to sign Aaron Rodgers. And, yeah, the Drew Brees deal sucks, but I think Aaron Rodgers is a cool enough guy that he knows, like, look, I run Green Bay, I can sign here for a little less, and I'm going to be the man for the next decade.
Yep, there you go. I actually agree with that. So we have, you know, Baker Boy and 4D, Mike Krusek, Joe Del Zanero, non-respectively there, are going to be up in just a few minutes. Real quick, I also want to let you know Fantasy Football Players Championship Main Event is releasing draft positions for Main Event players soon. Monday, July 23rd is the deadline to enter and pay for your Main Event team. Over 700 teams have entered the world's largest high-stakes fantasy football contest, so come on in and join the fun. $200,000 grand prize, Balky. That would be nice. Too bad you can't play, sucker.
It'd be nice for anyone. I just hope that, you know, given that I can't play, I hope that somebody who listens to this show wins so we can have them on. And I'll tell you what, how about this? Anybody who wins the FFPC main event or the FPC contest this year, let's have them on. You also win a free co-hosting gig with the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. You will host an entire show with Dave Gerzak and myself. 1 hour, we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. I don't know how much that sweetens the pot, but it's definitely throwing a little bit of sugar in there.
Dude, that's nice. That might be better than that Title Craft trophy that's worth like $2,000. So I don't know. It's pretty close, man. I don't know. So hey, are you gonna hang out? Or should I let you get going? I mean, you know, Baker Boy. I keep saying Baker, but I gotta actually call them by their real names. I'm not used to that. Joe and Mike are gonna be on in a few minutes. You want to hang out? You want to go watch your? You want to see if Signs is on yet by Tesla?
Yeah, Signs has not come up yet. I'm listening, and obviously Love Song, I'm sure, will be the encore. So I am going to bounce and listen to that, and I will let you – I will leave the show in the more than capable hands of one David Gerzak and 4D, Mike Krusek, and Baker Boy, Joe Del Zanero. You guys have no idea the treats you're in store for, so stay tuned for that, and I will download later, and I'll be back next week. We have a lot of great stuff, including a couple special guests, which you will allude to at the end of the show. So I will leave it to you, Mr. Gerzak. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks for checking in, man. Talk to you later.
You betcha.
All right, that was Eric Balkman. That's pretty cool. I'm glad he called in. You know, it makes the show a little bit less sucky for the first 12 minutes because I'm not even as good as Christian Slater, like in Pump Up the Volume, you know, when he's broadcasting by himself to nobody in the mountainous area of Colorado or wherever he was. Man, I am not even that good. So let's go on here and introduce Joe and Mike, our special guests. In an extended interview, Mike Krusek, a.k.a. 4D on the message boards, and Joe Del Zanero, a.k.a. Baker Boy. When they aren't arguing and running teams together, they are known as the Dusty Baker Experience. And let's see here. Let me see if I can get a little bit more of an introduction here. Now, these guys are the toast of old Chicago. They live in Chicago. I got the Italian that owns a laundromat but isn't in the mob. That's Joe Del Zanero. And his friend with four daughters but isn't piss broke. That's Mike Krusek. Hey, guys, are you guys on? You here? You hear me?
I'm here. This is Baker Boy, Joe.
All right, Baker Boy, what's up? Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Fantastic. Good. So what is shaking, dudes?
Well, we're just waiting for you to get done talking to Balky.
I know.
It's obvious you've run out of real guests.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I mean, it's like it's crazy that we had to actually have you guys on. It's, you know, we're
no
really
kidding.
Reaching for straws over here.
What's next, the Wizard next week?
Yeah, the Wizard, that's actually a good idea. So, hey, do you guys want to just – let's ask your first question. You guys want to first just tell us how you met and how you guys got into fantasy football together?
Sure. Mike?
Whoever wants to go first.
Mike, Mike's got a photographic memory, so he'll remember. I really don't.
Well, we've been playing fantasy football in our local league for – well, with Joe, it'll be 27 years this year.
Holy, so you guys must be like 33 then.
34.
Ah, nice.
34. And the way Joe first got into it was we went to draft the second year we had the league, and he owned a restaurant and bar. He was a part owner, and he was working there. one of the guys didn't show up who was supposed to be drafting. So I said, Joe, do you want to be in it? He said, sure. He got his brother who was there. They joined the league. They won it that year because they drafted Dan Marino when he had like 9,000 touchdowns.
Nice.
And it was also a league, one of the few leagues where you have two quarterbacks playing at once. So we didn't know any players to take. So we just took all the USFL players that were coming into the NFL that year. So we got like Jim Kelly, Herschel Walker, you know, that's the only players we knew.
That's nice. You're already handicapping. You're already playing a little bit of advantage players there.
That's right.
Okay, so sorry. Go ahead.
That's how long we've been playing fantasy football, but then we started playing together when the original whack-off started year one.
As you did.
And so you guys became friends from fantasy football, or were you friends before then?
No, we knew each other before then.
Okay. So you guys were friends, and then you started playing together, and then you got on WCO.
Well, we're not friends, so I don't, you know,
right.
We just play fantasy football together.
You're acquaintances that play fantasy. Yeah, let's get this straight. Acquaintances that play fantasy football together.
Right.
Tell us about your history of playing fantasy football and how'd you guys got involved. You started playing WCOP year one. That's 2002.
Right.
And how'd you guys do that year?
Not that great.
No.
And you're still around. That's good. They're not, though.
we did better the second year, I think. And we had a couple good years.
Well, tell us about your best years in WCOP.
One year we led the WACOP for about 6 weeks. And then
you guys were the top scoring team in the regular season.
Top scoring, well, for you know, for like week three, let's say three or four through week nine, and we ended up at with the fourth or fifth highest score overall for the regular season, but we didn't even finish first in our leagues. Another team finished second in scoring in the WACOF. So you had the second highest scoring team in WACOF in the same league as the fourth or fifth highest scoring team.
Man, you got everybody else in that league must have really been asleep at the wheel, man.
Yeah, it was. You know what? John Duckworth was in the league, so what can I say?
That explains it. There's one team you can throw out right away. You know, I remember actually I was at WCOP with you guys, and I can't remember what year it was. And after the drafts, we've hung out together and we've walked around to see these different boards. And you guys were in one league where some dude took five running backs in a row. This is in WCOP where you can only start three running backs, right?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that was hilarious.
The first five or six picks were running backs, and you can only start, you know, the three. So, you know, what are you hoping for?
Yeah, no kidding.
That wasn't Duckworth, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Duckworth wouldn't even do that. So Joe, you have an interesting take on defenses in the FFPC format. Actually, generally, it's just in fantasy football. Do you want to go ahead and share that with us, give us a little strategy on that?
Well, yes, I will. I've been doing it for the last couple of years, and it works sometimes. It doesn't always work, but, you know, when you take a defense, if you just consider that defense is just for that 1 week, a lot of people take defenses early. You know, I've been in the Draft Masters. They're taking defenses in the 14th round, 12th round. And, of course, Draft Masters is different than a regular main event because you can't drop defenses. But my point is they'll take, like, the 49ers. Well, that happens in the regular draft, too. Teams will take, like, the 49ers early, and then they have to keep them. And then they will keep them, and they'll start them in games that really don't make much sense. So, like, let's say the first week of the NFL year this year, I'll take, for example, Minnesota. They're playing at home against Jacksonville. Then the next week you drop them and find another team. And sometimes you could follow a team, not the defensive team, but the team that every week that plays that scores about 10 points a week.
So you're just going to follow Blaine Gabbert all season, aren't you?
Well, it's not a bad idea. maybe the whole Cleveland thing too.
Yeah, don't forget Brandon Whedon. Who else can we follow around? I'm going to write this down. So we got to follow Jacksonville. We got to follow Cleveland. Who else throws a bunch of turnovers?
You don't know. Like Washington could. You know, we'll see when he comes up. You know, just because one rookie was real good, I don't know if this guy's going to be real good.
Yeah.
Miami.
Right.
Miami. You know, that's musical QBs. There's another one. That's good. That's good stuff. I've always liked that strategy. Actually, we've talked about that a few different times. Right? You know, I'll call you and I'll be like, "So, what defense are you picking up this week?" See, I'm really not good. If anyone's listening, which a few people are, you know, I'm not really good at fantasy football. I just ask, like, you know, various players what they do and who they like that week, and then I just put in my own strategy. Is actually how I do it.
That's a good strategy too.
So, now, Mike, I have a question for you. Now, this actually doesn't have much to do with fantasy football. So, this has to do more with your family. You have four daughters and a wife. I hope, and or, you know, four mistresses, whatever. So what does your family think of the fantasy football habit, just in general?
Well, my wife puts up with it. She's
and you, how long have you been married?
Well, actually, 27 years today.
So hang on. So
wow,
you guys,
happy anniversary.
So today's your anniversary.
Today's my
You're
anniversary.
Calling into this show.
You're
yeah. Holy, you know what? I'm going to swear. Holy shit. Thank you very much for calling in.
Hey, we're going out tomorrow night, so.
All right. Yeah, you're like, honey, I would love to take you to the nicest restaurant in town, but I have to call into this high-stakes fantasy football hour with, like, 20 online listeners. So if you don't mind, I'll
see
you
tomorrow
night. Well,
no, I didn't tell her that way. She actually thinks that this is important.
It might be on CBS.
And you met my oldest daughter last year because she came out to Vegas with me. She's a big fantasy football fan.
Yes, she's very nice.
Yes, the other three could care less. So they put up with it. They know on Sunday they don't bother me. They stay out of the way when I'm doing what I'm doing, getting ready for the lineups to be turned in, things like that. And I'll ask them for their opinions on things. They'll tell me what they think. I'll make sure I go the other way, kind of like Lou.
You mean Lou will tell you something and you'll go the other way?
Well, I mean, really, Sean Green?
Hey, let's not get into some of those picks. Hey, Draft Sharks had MJD last year as the first round bust, so hey, there you go.
So 2,000 yards.
Yeah. So you had four daughters, and is that true? They're all going to college, or they've all been or leaving college?
No. I have one is out, one is in grad school, and two are yet to go.
Wow. So you're halfway through the hellish. Are they helping to pay? They hopefully they have jobs. I mean, it's like, how can you afford to do this, right?
And play high-stakes
fantasy.
Well, yes, it's not easy. And actually, the worst one is the littlest one because she dances.
Oh, yeah, that's right. See, I have two daughters as well, and Mike had advised me to take my kids out of dance because it gets incrementally more expensive as the years go on. You start traveling. This is actually a fantasy football show, but you're going to learn a little bit about life tonight too, folks. If you have any young daughters, you know, try running or something like that. You know, it doesn't cost much.
Yeah, soccer is great.
Yes.
Dance, nothing but money.
All right, guys, so back to fantasy football. I'm going to ask you for your spill your guts later. But, you know, everyone, you know, these pay sites, they always have a first-round bust that they like to talk about. Do either of you guys, I mean, I've looked through the first round, and it's a little tough to pick out a first-round bust. Do either of you guys have a first-round bust you're going to throw out at me?
A bust?
I
don't know about a bust. As far as, like, I guess it depends on what exactly is your definition.
Okay, let's say a guy that you probably, even though you may not think he's in a bust, you just probably will not take that player.
Andre Johnson.
Yep, and he goes near the end of the first, early second, right?
Yeah.
I have two. I'm not going to take Marshawn Lynch, no matter what.
Yep, he goes near the end of the first, early second.
And I won't end up with Ryan Matthews just because it looks like he's now the, you know, early first after the big three. I won't take him there.
No, he goes like fourth, fifth, or sixth a lot of times.
So I'll never have him.
Mm-hmm. So, Joe, if you're up right now in a draft, you have the four pick, the first three guys go. You looking at like Calvin, or are you looking at some other running back?
All right.
You could be looking at Graham or Gronk too, of course.
That's true. If Matt Forte is in camp, right, you know, from the first, I'll take him with the fourth pick.
Okay, so that's interesting. Let's talk about Forte a little bit because he's still holding out. They're probably going to sign him Sunday night, Monday afternoon. We know how this is going to happen. But they signed Michael Bush to a pretty big contract, and Michael Bush is getting paid money. If nothing else, you know, Forte struggled a bit at the goal line. Now, granted, he struggled at the goal line because the offensive line in your hometown sucks, as you were well aware, and you've said this before. So, okay, they did a little bit with the offensive line. It's going to get a little bit better. But they signed Bush to pretty big money. So what is your opinion about Bush taking goal line opportunities from Forte?
He may take a few. So did Marion Barber last year. If Forte is healthy and he's playing, he's going to get a lot of points. Because he also, as you know, catching the ball is everything, you know, with these players in the early picks.
Lynch. And that's why you don't like Lynch, right?
Yeah, right.
And what about – so, Mike, so let's go back to your pick there. What do you explain that a little bit with Andre? You just think it's just age? Injuries?
Well, age, he's always, I mean, really, when has he had, out of all the years he's been in the league, how many years has he played a full season?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also, you know, we still haven't seen Matt Schaub come back to start throwing again.
Yep.
I'd like to see him do some things. Plus, I think that they're very happy with Arian Foster and Ben Tate.
You know what's funny about Andre Johnson is, yeah, and they have become so much more of a rushing-based offense. I mean, how does a guy that's 6'5", 235, what is his career high for touchdowns? Is it like 10? I mean, he usually gets like 6 or 8. I mean, how can you be that bad at scoring touchdowns? I've never understood that.
You know, they seem to have always used the tight end or the running back around the goal line. I mean,
yeah, like they'll throw it from Andre from like the 20 to the 20 in two passes. You know, he'll have two catches for 60 yards on the drive, then throw it to Daniels to the 3, and then pound it in with Foster at the 3. And
that's just the way they do things. How didn't Starks have 15 touchdowns last year just by being around the thing?
Yeah, well, they gave it all to Kuhn, John Kuhn, the fullback.
You know, you got to figure that's kind of Starks with how many times he carried the ball. How come he didn't score a lot of touchdowns? I mean, they scored so many touchdowns.
I'm not trying to argue against that, but the thing about a lot of people who didn't watch all the Packer games or, you know, weren't really as – I'm not saying that you didn't see them or were aware, but Grant and Starks really did split time almost all season. It was like – because I owned Starks in a few weeks, so it was like every single week it was like 13 for 52 for Grant, 12 for 44 for Starks. That's what, you know, it was like every week, and then Rodgers threw the touchdown and, you know, threw the touchdown in. That's just the way, I guess, the Packers run.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see what happens this year with Starks.
Do you think that he's ready to take the next step up? He can catch.
I do, actually. I think Starks is a really good prospect at the spot he's getting drafted in. I mean, he's still falling into that 6th, 7th round in some places. So,
well, if he stays there, that's fine. But if he starts moving up as the preseason comes around.
Right, yeah, and he probably will start to move up. I mean, you know, these early ADPs are such a joke, it's ridiculous.
You know, a lot of my picks right now are done during Draft Masters, and you pick different anyway. And then it's also when you start getting in the bigger leagues, you really got to take who you want, and you got to take them as early as you possibly can. Otherwise, you won't get them. You know, it's very hard to wait and wait and wait and say, well, I'm going to take, like, for example, on the main event, Starks might be going in the 4th round by then.
Yeah, he very well could, actually. Especially, really, preseason plays such a huge part. If Starks goes, like, 4 carries for 45 yards and a touchdown in one preseason game, bam, there's a round. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like one round up. You know what I mean? Or if Javid Best, for example, if he actually doesn't break his neck off during preseason and has a few carries.
If he makes the Pledge of Allegiance, the national anthem.
If you're religious, you have to go to church if you own Javid Best this whole season, man. It's going to be something else.
You know, though, when you draft him, though, you start thinking about that $200,000. You say, wow, if he could, you know, because I remember his 50-point game. Wow, if he could do that for a year.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I had him in that, you know, he had that 50-point game, and I was like a complete genius. And then 2 weeks later, I was, an idiot. You know how it is. So let's talk about Vegas a little bit. You guys are coming out to join us for the FFPC main events and parties and so on. We appreciate it.
Right.
What do you guys like best about the annual Las Vegas pilgrimage and live draft experience?
I like to see little Leroy.
Do you usually rub his head though for good luck before you play video poker, right?
That's right. Remember, and I hit the royal.
And you hit a royal flush.
3 years later.
Oh, that's awesome, Mike. What about you?
Seriously, the thing I like best is just seeing everybody that you've met through all the years, and you get to see him once a year. I mean, Jack Hahn, he lives, I don't know, a half hour away from me. The only time I'll ever see him is in Vegas.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? And then you guys, you know, you chat and hang out like old friends. I mean,
absolutely.
Which everybody is. I always equate the live draft experience once you see all your pals. It's almost like going to an annual class reunion where you see everybody just every year. It's pretty awesome.
Right. Except you have more in common with these guys than the people you went to school with, probably.
Yeah, that's right. You're not hanging out with like the 3 people you knew, and then everybody else is back to their old cliques.
Right.
Right, and here you don't care what you look like.
That's right. You don't have to lose weight for this thing, that's for sure. So we're going to come up with some listener emails. Okay, so I got another question for you. So we always usually ask this. So what fantasy player, and Joe, I know you play a lot of those 77s. When you get into those 77s, Joe, and then Mike will ask you the same question, what is one fantasy player you log in and you see them and you're like, oh, God, I really didn't want to be in the same draft with this guy. And this could be for live draft as well. And then one player that you see either at your table or in the online draft room where you're like, oh, that's awesome. I'm glad to be drafting with this person.
Well, for different reasons. I mean, in the 77.
There you go. You can explain. It's okay.
In the 77, you know, and of course he's in every one of them, Rich Dunn. You know, you're going to see him.
I don't know Rich Dunn. You mean the guy who's the number, Mr. Number?
Yeah, the 77 guy.
Yeah, if you don't know Rich Dunn, it'll be like 77 slow draft 14, number 20.
Infinity, right.
Yeah. Yeah, slow draft 77-40, and it'll be his 40th slow draft team.
Yeah, so you figure he's going to, you know, the best you can do is cut the pot with him. You're not, if you beat him, you'll just barely beat him. He does really well in those 77s and in those draft masters.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of the best that I think that you have over there. And then for live events, I'll tell you, I had a blast. I like drafting with him, and it's not because he's a bad drafter. But Don, the guy that won the second FFPC, Don.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I sat next to him. Geez, I can't think of his team's name. But
Don Metter?
That's it, Don Metter. That's his name. But, I mean, he, you know.
Yeah, what is Don's team name always that he uses?
Bernie Madoff.
He used Bernie Madoff that year.
Right.
Yeah.
And, he's a blast to sit next to. Joe Jefferson. I mean, these are people sometimes you sit, you know, you sit next to somebody in the draft, and, I mean, you're supposed to be having fun, and these people won't talk to you, you know. You say something to them, they act, you know, it's like, what are you trying to read my stuff? These guys, were fun to draft with.
Yeah, Jefferson's always chatty, too. I've always noticed which is great. He's very relaxed. But, you know, Jefferson, he's a guy. What we actually do with him, if he's doing a live draft with us, if it starts at 9, we tell him it's 8:30, and then he comes in at 5 after 9 anyway. So
yeah.
He's always late, but he's always in a good mood when he actually shows up.
Right, and he'll, you know, he'll talk to you even about your picks. He'll talk about anything during the draft, and sometimes I was drafting next to him 1-2, so you got to wait like, you know, 25 minutes for it to, or 20, whatever, 20 minutes for it to come back, or 15. You know, what are you going to do, stare at your pick? So he was nice to be around. You talk to him.
That's awesome. So, Mike, what about you?
Well, there's a lot of players I wouldn't like to see in my draft. As a matter of fact, most of them were in the league with me last year. But I would probably say the one that I don't like to say, that I never want to see again, is Wayne Ellis.
Wayne Ellis, I know that. Man, like we've talked about his Excel spreadsheet before. That thing is like a masterpiece, dude. I think I don't know how many colors are in the rainbow, or not in the rainbow, but in like one of those Crayola boxes, but he's using at least 60 out of those 64 in that crayon box, man. I'm telling you, it's nuts.
Yeah, so I've had him in my main event league the last 2 years. And people I like to draft with, actually I like drafting with Wayne from a pure, he's fun to have in the league, but there's a lot of people that I like. I mean, anyone who doesn't mind talking or having fun, Dennis Young.
Oh, yeah, Dennis Young,
Although he's usually drunk.
Yeah, he's usually a little buzzed off, which makes him more entertaining.
But it helps him as a drafter.
Yeah, it might, you know. It very well could.
I'm just assuming.
I know, I've never gotten to draft in a league that I don't think – well, no, I take that back. The Bare Knuckles League year one, I had Lance was in that one. So I guess I did have him in a league, and he was quite entertaining as well.
So are you guys doing Bare Knuckles this year, or are you taking the year off? You guys are doing the off-the-grid league, right?
Right.
We're doing that
together. Cool. That should be a really fun league. I'm actually really excited to host that this year. That should be really should be something else. So I suppose we're not going to talk off-the-grid strategy here on the show. We have thousands and thousands of listeners who could be playing.
Coyote Streakers in the audience?
He's actually not. He just texted me, and he goes – what is it? What did his text say? He said, I can't listen to the show tonight, you know, downward smiley face. out of town can't listen to show.
All I can tell you about the off-the-grid strategy is that Joe is bringing every credit card he has.
If we have to, we'll spend a lot of money.
Now, speaking of strategies, one of the strategies I've seen you guys employ is doesn't Joe get cut off from naming players after about round 12 due to pronunciation issues and remembering what teams are on?
Joe gets cut off starting round 1.
Oh, is
it? Dave, if you've always noticed, I've always had a partner, and it's because I'll start saying naming people from, you know, like, I don't know.
Like he'll name Michael Westbrook when he meant Brian Westbrook.
Right, and then they say, you got to take him. And then the guy sitting next to me goes, you got to take him now.
Yeah, no, yeah, then they're all Nazis about that strategy. Like, yeah, you got to actually take that player. So, Joel, who's the Pittsburgh quarterback?
Rotzenberger.
Rotzenberger, dude, I love that name. It's not Roethlisberger.
It's not nice to pick on the, you know, mentally challenged.
Hey, I'm from Wisconsin. I talk weird. You know how it is, right?
You know what? You're losing your accent, though, I've noticed, the more you're on this show.
Really? I'm trying. Yeah, I've been taking speech therapy courses, so I'm trying to get away from it.
Good. Just watch the Chicago weather, girl. You'll have a perfect...
That's awesome. Hey, let's do some emails, okay? How about that?
All right,
so here we go. We got an email from Vince in Little Rock, Arkansas. What's up, Dave? Pretty cool to have Baker Boy on. I've drafted with him in Vegas before, and he's always pretty tough.
Is that my ma?
No, it's Vince.
That sent that email? Oh, okay. All right.
Can you ask him about his philosophy on drafting players on poor offenses? Eric alluded to the Baker Boy strategy on not drafting players on teams that don't score touchdowns on a previous episode, but I was hoping the Baker Boy himself could explain it a little further and describe that philosophy's previous success.
Right, let me think about this. Here's the thing. I know this. There's players that go around the same place every time in these Draftmasters. And let's say Greg Little and Titus Young, okay, and Lance Moore. They all go around the same. In fact, I would say probably Little goes a little bit earlier. Who's really got the opportunity to score? I mean, everything being equal, Titus Young might have 7 or 8 touchdowns just by showing up on the field. Little, if he gets 7 or 8 touchdowns, that'll be, what, twice as much as the Cleveland quarterback threw last year?
Yeah.
So you're trying to pick, like, a player that's on a bad team. It's really hard, even if they have good years. Even, you know, you were talking about Maurice Jones-Drew. I don't know how many touchdowns he scored last year. And I know he had a ton of yardage. And I'm not necessarily saying you can't take anybody on a bad, you know, on a team that doesn't score. But look at how many yards he had to do to get in the top five. Because he's not going to score. He didn't score any touchdowns, I would imagine, or very few.
Yep.
Go on.
No, I know. I totally agree with that. And I think that Maurice Jones-Drew was a very big outlier last year. And there's a possibility. I mean, if I had to pick a first-round player, I would probably still avoid. I would probably, again, go. I didn't pick Jones-Drew last year at all. I'd probably still not take Jones-Drew again this year. It's just, I mean, that's part of the reason right there.
You know, you can't expect a guy to have 2,000 yards. It's just, you know, what is he going to do if he has the 1,500 yards? Is he going to be able to score 10 or 15 touchdowns? You know, that's what makes a top five running back. Not that he, you know, breaks the NFL record for times touched the ball, because you can't expect that.
Absolutely. So let's give this question to Mike here, because I feel like I'm talking to you too much, Baker Boy. You know, seriously, I got to get Mike here. I got to get Mike some more FaceTime here, or airtime, or whatever you call it. So, Mike, Josh Gordon, you know a little bit about that guy?
Yep.
All right. So it seems like Josh Gordon, the wide receiver from Baylor, was the only real piece of news this week, and I couldn't gauge his true worth because of it. So you guys tell me, are high-stakes players paying attention to Josh Gordon now that he's gotten taken in the second round of the supplemental draft, or are they still targeting Greg Little as a pass catcher to own in Cleveland? That's from Tim from Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay, if I'm taking a Cleveland receiver, it's going to be Greg Little. Josh Gordon going in the second round doesn't do a supplemental draft on top of it. Doesn't really do a lot for me, considering he didn't even play last year in college. So he's going to come in and do what this year? Not much. First of all, I don't particularly like rookie wide receivers anyway. But here's a perfect example of a team that isn't going to be high scoring. I would not touch this guy as a wide receiver in a redraft league now.
Sure.
And, you know, Dynasty might be a little bit different. But in a redraft league, I don't want anything to do with him. I mean, I have Greg Little ranked pretty low right now, so.
Well, let's open this question up then to all rookie wide receivers, to both of you guys. Is there anyone, any one of those guys? I mean, last year we had A.J. Green, we had Julio. Julio actually, you know, from an actual fantasy perspective, was not outstanding. He just showed a lot of potential. A.J. Green actually had a 1,000-yard season. So is there any of those rookie guys that you think this year have a shot? You're talking like Stephen Hill. I mean, A.J. Jenkins isn't looking good, obviously. You know, you have Kendall Wright at Tennessee. I got 5 on a bet with Balky on that one. We'll see how I do there. Any of those guys you give a fighting chance to?
Wright.
Kendall Wright?
At least that they could, you know, they throw. You know, that Blackman is the best. If he was going to Dallas, he might take somebody's job at Dallas. You know, the guy on Jacksonville. But what's he going to do over in Jacksonville unless they run reverses?
Well, I mean, his competition is Laurent Robinson and Mike Thomas at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what – I saw Gabbert play last year. I don't know if unless they bring another quarterback in, what's he going to do? even then I would take him. I would take him in a redraft probably as late as possible, 17th or 18th round. I would take him in a draft master.
Yeah.
You know, because of the talent.
Right, and exactly. He's got the talent. There's always that chance that he hits lightning in a bottle. Gabbert could get better. But you just really have to see that value where you're looking at other players. You're like, okay, well, all the guys I really wanted are gone, and here he is just sitting there.
Well, don't you guys think that – go on, Mike. Go on.
No, I was just going to say, this year's rookie crop of receivers don't really do a lot for me, and in particular because of the fact that so many of them went to teams where I don't really like the quarterback.
Really, really good point. You know, Julio Jones got a really good break that he was playing with Roddy White.
I would love Floyd on Arizona if they had someone other than who they have.
Right. Yeah, it's, again, with Fitz getting a lot of double coverage, and now Floyd's at Fitz's little running camp and receiver camp. And he's going to definitely get that starting job. I guess Floyd, if Kevin Cobb or Skelton actually showed anything, or you know, if you actually think they will show anything, Floyd might have that opportunity to do something, because I could see Andre Roberts sliding to the slot pretty immediately and Floyd coming out as a day one starter. So that's a possibility, at least as something.
Right. Now, all of that could change, of course, after you see him in preseason.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Right.
I mean, these guys, which are like 14th round picks, move to the 9th, 10th, 7th round, who knows, depending on how they do. All right. That's very good. So, you know, Tim, we over-answered your email, buddy. That was a good one. So, next is we're bold, we're sold. So, you guys, I know I gave you this question beforehand. This is kind of a weird question Balky has written up here, but we want you to each state your case for one NFL storyline that's going to have a big impact in the NFL 2012 NFL and fantasy season. It doesn't necessarily have to have an extreme likelihood of happening, but something you think could definitely happen. Who goes first? Mike, you go first.
Okay. I haven't decided which way to come down here yet, but the most interesting storyline for me right now that I'm watching is to see what happens with Peyton Manning in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to have a big impact on several players.
Right.
And I'm not sold yet on the fact that all the glowing reports about how Peyton's already in that. This is a guy who in Indianapolis had to play over and over and over again to feel comfortable, and his receivers, I mean, they ran reps thousands of times to get to where they got to. So I'm going to be interested to see what happens when he's in Denver with a couple of younger guys.
Well, he better, for $19.2 million, he better put in those extra, a little bit extra film time and a little bit extra time after the workouts.
Well, but can he? You know,
that's the question. I mean, when you take a year off and you're age 36, I think he is in that neighborhood, I mean, that's substantial. It really is. Coming off a neck injury, that's really pretty tough.
Right. I mean, it's one thing to be looking good throwing the ball right now, but what happens when he gets hit?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good one. I'm going to be bold, and you sold me. That's one of the best your bold souls you've had all year, so good job. And so, Baker Boy, now you get to follow that with yours, which I'm sure won't even be close to as good.
No, it won't be, but it's something that I really would like to have happen. During the year, the Bears, Forte breaks his leg, then Bush breaks his leg, then Khalili Smith in Week 16 playing against the Packers scored 9 touchdowns. I pick up Khalili Smith as a lock, and I go to the championship, and I win everything.
Is that Khalil Bell?
Yeah, that's it, whatever.
With Khalil Smith, you won't even have him on your roster, man.
It's Kevin Smith, I meant. It's Detroit, 9 touchdowns.
Oh, Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
What team are we talking about? We're talking Chicago or Detroit?
In the middle of the season.
That's awesome.
This is why I say the name.
See, there you go. You just proved it. Khalili Smith.
What's the difference? He won't be around in a couple of years anyway, will he?
So Khalili Smith has 2 L's, 4 E's in his name, according to Sports Betting Man here on the message board. So that was pretty good. Oh, that's pretty good. All right, so let's see if we can go to let's see if I can do Spill Your Guts here. I'm actually going to play the music, so hang on.
I think it's time to spill the beans, boy.
The time has come to talk.
Let's have it.
We know you know, and you know we know you know, and we know you know we know you know.
Spill your guts.
Jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you.
See, See, the nice thing about that is it wastes 40 seconds of time, so that's 40 seconds I don't really have to talk, so that's great. Okay, boys, so this is it. This is what everyone's waiting for. You know, you guys, you know, people are saying on the message boards, you guys never, you don't like to talk about your strategies a lot. So you each have to give me one sleeper that you love this year and one player you wouldn't draft with even my team, and Blaine Gabbert has been taken already as a player you wouldn't draft, so can't take him.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Joe.
All right. Well, the player that I take so far in every one of my drafts, if he's there about the 15th, 16th round, is Emmanuel Sanders. So I must
Emmanuel
like
Sanders.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, and explain.
Well, I think, you know, last year he was the number two, and I think that he's got a good shot of receiving a lot of yards. I think that they're going to throw a lot in Pittsburgh, and I think he's going to be out on the field a lot. I think last year he had some injury problems, and I think he's just as good as who's the guy that's the number one over – or well, not Wallace, the other guy.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, that's it. I think so. I think he's a good pick. I think he's got some upside, and you get him, like, in the 15th round.
Well, the nice thing about Sanders is that if you have a hamstring injury from Wallace from his holdout, or you have, you know, Antonio Brown, you know, pops his ankle for 4 weeks, at the very least, Sanders steps in, and you never know if one of them has a season-ending injury. Sanders has that talent. He has that speed. He can run the routes, and he's got Big Ben Roethlisberger throwing to him. So it's like he can immediately step in either of those positions, and I think he'd be like a 1,000-yard type receiver over the weeks that he plays.
Well, thank you for you've verified my sleeper pick.
That's a good one. That's excellent. I love it. So give me the crap guy, the guy you wouldn't take. You think he's overvalued. You wouldn't take him no matter what.
Let's see. Who don't I? It would have to be like a sleeper pick, like that people.
No. Just any player that you know. Let's say this player goes at the 206, and you just will never take him in those types of spots.
Can I just say Marshawn Lynch again?
No, you can't.
All right, well, wait a second. Okay, there's a couple things I could say here. First of all, I don't take any of those St. Louis receivers. Holy cow, there's like 10 of them that go off on the board, and I don't know who any of them are except Amendola, and I don't take him. So I won't take any St. Louis receiver, none of them.
None of the 10 St. Louis rosters. That's
pretty
funny.
I see them go. I don't know who they are, and I don't know except Amendola, and I don't think they'll be around. Geez, you know who plays on that team? Steve Smith, for God's sakes. What is he, 3 years removed from having his leg amputated?
He's got an artificial limb, and he's running around out there, and he's still on the roster.
So is that good, or I got to pick Marquis?
No, that's pretty good, actually. I think that you just named 10 guys. Well, you didn't name 10 guys. You named Amendola.
And some of them will be cut.
Right, yeah. Each team only keeps like 7 guys.
Well, there you go. So they all get picked. All the St. Louis wide receivers get picked because nobody knows who's starting.
You know that's always a problem if you have like a Draft Masters League and it's a 26-rounder, and then you get through training camp and all the final cuts, and you look at your team and there's like 21 guys left or 20 guys.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't what I was looking for.
But as long as last year one of them was named Rob Gronkowski, you were okay.
Yeah, no crap.
It's like having 3 players.
All right, so Mike, same question. So what's a sleeper? Give us your sleeper guy, first of all.
Eddie Royal.
Eddie Royal from the Chargers. Now, that is an interesting pick. Can I give you a quick Eddie Royal story?
Sure, it's your show.
So, yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Unlike Balky, I'm not as bossy. I'm a little bit more kind to my guests. So it was Monday night, Eddie Royal's rookie season, and I took him on one of my teams, and it was a main event type team. And I was hanging out with Corn Fins and Kurt and Leroy over at Caesar's Palace at the Sportsbook. We were getting drunk on those those slushy drinks, these big football slushy drinks. So I was going and getting those every like 20, 30 minutes. I got pretty loaded, and my team wasn't doing that well. So I had Eddie Royal actually starting as my fourth receiver, which was a ridiculous decision because this guy is like a rookie. I believe he's a rookie. So I go in and play poker, and I actually, while walking to play poker, I tripped and fell walking out of the VIP section of the sportsbook to the poker area. And I got up, and I'm like, hey, I'm all right, to everybody. And, you know, people, like, clapped for me in the sportsbook like a complete dipshit. I walked in, went and played poker for, like, 2 hours, hit an inside straight so I didn't even lose any money, walked back out drunk as a skunk, and I'm like, hey, how'd that A. Royal do? And they're like, dude, 8 for 135 and 2 touchdowns. So, like, I'll always have something, I'll have this genuine love for Eddie Royal because of that one evening. So,
yeah,
so that's my story.
Wow.
So now that I've given you that, now tell me about Eddie Royal for this year on the Chargers.
Okay, well, he's on a team with a good quarterback.
Check.
He's on a team where you have either receivers or the tight end that have injury issues.
Yep.
So I think he may end up seeing a little bit more playing time than might be expected at this point. Obviously, as a rookie, he was a really, really nice receiver. He's fast, he's quick, and in the slot, I think that he can do some things. But I just don't think that the people that they have out there are going to stay healthy for the whole year, so he's going to get a lot more opportunity than what I think is people might be expecting.
Yeah, that, you know, it's an interesting selection. I mean, I always thought Eddie Royal, like, second and third year, that the Broncos just, like, decided, you know, they just ignored him, it seemed like, or they just didn't want to use him. Yeah, it was funny that one year when what's-his-name came in, the guy who's on New England now, the coordinator, Josh McDaniels. Remember everyone was saying, here's, you know, Royal's going to be Welker in this offense, and boy, did he suck. He was awful that year. But it's like I could see it. If they use him in the slot, if Meacham doesn't pan out like they expected, Vincent Brown doesn't really emerge, Malcolm Floyd's obviously old, and then Gates always has that propensity for getting hurt. Royal could really be somebody that could come out and do something. And where is he going now in these drafts? You guys are in drafts right now.
He's very late.
Very late, like 15th, 18th.
Like around where Sanders goes, somewhere around there, 15th, 16th. You know, once that, you know, right around there, a little bit earlier. One thing I got to say about Royal, and I this is what I think. I think he could be effective, but as long as Gates is there, they're not going to use a slot receiver that much, and they don't have a lot of formations where they do that anyway. They like to line up the two wideouts and then have Gates, you know, have some coverage over the middle or something.
It sounds like we have a little 16th round off the grid argument brewing here, guys. So you guys better straighten this out a little bit.
No, because I'm the one who says the names.
Oh, that's right. It's past the first round, so you're like, I'll take Eddie Royal.
We're going to simultaneously draft one of those $500 teams too, Dave.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We'll have, that's what we're working on. We're going to, maybe his daughter will do that, and, you know, we'll go over there. So it'll be kind of cool, drafting two things at once.
Yeah, I mean, there's only three drafts going on, so you guys can just walk around and, you know, goof off, whatever you need to do, grab something to drink and eat.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mike, we still need your crappy guy, your player you wouldn't even draft with Dave's team.
Don't say Emmanuel Sanders.
Sean Green.
Hey, but he's catching passes. LT's gone.
Yeah, well, yeah. Every time they threw to him, he looked horrible.
he averaged like 7 yards a catch, right?
And now he's going to have Tim Tebow throwing to him?
Hey, I have Sanchez, and he's going to be playing the whole season. That's one of my bets. You know what? I think I'm regretting that bet already. I think I'm in a little bit of trouble here.
What's your bet?
I got five on a bet that Sanchez starts every game this season for the Jets.
Oh, he could start all the games if they win. If they win, they'll start him. But Tebow will come in like at the goal line or something, right?
Yeah, he'll come in. He'll play Wildcat.
If they start losing, Sanchez will lose his job.
Yeah, and they have a real tough schedule early on. So people, you know, Balky's hypothesis was that he'd be getting pulled at right after they start out 0-5 or 0-4 or whatever. So, all right, we have one more. I'm going to give you guys one more email here quick, and then we got about 8 minutes left in the show. And by the way, Pros versus Joe's draft slots are coming up. And actually, speaking of that, I'm glad I brought this up. Let's talk a little bit about Pros versus Joe, since Scott and Mike on the Red versus Blue show are doing the Pros versus Joe slots. Who is named Joe on the show tonight? Do you have a discussion to talk about? Give us a little preview of that there, Joe.
About the Pros versus Joes?
Tell us about some past results.
I get the point.
Have the Pros ever won?
I'm the George Washington of the Pros versus Joes. I won the very first one.
That's right, baby. You are the first ever champ. You are the Joe named Joe that beat all the pros.
That's right. In fact, that's what the trophy says on it.
You're the Barack Obama.
Well, thank you.
This
isn't a political show, is it?
No, we won't get you into your, you know, we're trying to get the chef to listen to the show on occasion, so since he's so staunchly conservative, please don't give us any of your liberal beliefs, please.
Oh, if Chef's in the audience, me and Mike want to thank him because every year we have the Dusty Baker experience in the Genesis draft. He usually pays for it. So.
Well, that's right, because you always outscore his team.
Right.
Yeah, he funds us.
So thanks a lot, Chef, if you're in the audience. Shout out to Chef in the house.
Yes, we're shooting mad props to the Chef tonight. from the Dusty Baker experience. Okay, so that's pretty awesome. You won that league, and was Mike in that league with you at all?
Yeah, he finished in the like about 45th, like the very sweet spot of the
Nice.
We don't split those leagues.
Dead nuts in the middle, right?
Well, he won his main event last year. I didn't, so.
That's pretty good. That's pretty awesome. So you won that main event. So, Mike, okay, let's talk a little bit about Mike's. Again, I know we got 5 minutes left, so I'm going to keep talking with you guys.
All right.
So Mike, you actually won your – tell us about your best FFPC main event experience, which you could also argue could be your worst, but give us that rundown of what happened that season.
Well, the first year, I like last year better because I actually finished winning the league. But the first year, I finished as the highest scoring team in the regular season.
Out of the entire contest.
Yes. But promptly had everything fall apart in one of the weeks of the playoffs, which ended up with me finishing just out of the money
in the
final round.
Ugh.
So, but it was still... It was still not a bad experience. It was the very first. As a matter of fact, we almost weren't playing fantasy football that year, but fortunately you guys started up the FFPC.
Yeah,
that's
I wasn't
right,
going
yeah.
back to the whack-off. I know that. I wouldn't do it.
So.
You know, yeah, Baker Boy, I think you were actually – I always call you the canary in the coal mine on whack-off because you were one of the first people ever that said, you know what, I didn't get my money back for that Gridiron League in a timely fashion, the $2,000, and – And you're like, I'm not playing him anymore, and that was it.
Well, the other thing was he instead of telling me when I was getting the money, he was telling me what a fantastic time he had at the Super Bowl with my money. he was wearing my money.
He was also at the FSTA show too, wasn't he?
he was all kinds of places with my money. wasn't Dustin. That was Jesse.
That was Jesse. Well, Dustin's recently been at the World Series of Poker, so he's continuing that on even to this day.
Yeah. Wow. That was nice of him. Yeah. By the way, I did end up in that first year. It wasn't a total loss because for leading the regular season, my wife has a nice watch out of it. So.
Oh, that's right. We were giving away those reactor watches.
Courtesy of Watchco, right? Yes.
Yes, Watchco.com.
Watchco.com.
We're function meets fashion.
Yeah, last year, I think, was probably even more fun winning the league that I did because I was in there with Sandbar, who led the whole FFPC from start to finish.
Oh, yeah. He had a phenomenal team, man. I thought that team was, like, rock solid.
Right, but there were guys like Invictus was in that league. Jules was in that league. Wayne was in that league. There was someone else who was, like, really highly ranked, actually maybe two or three people. Matt Baller was in that league. I'm looking up and down the whole thing going, oh, my God, how did I get here?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, you know, that just proves that the FFPC, we play random. That's it. So, you know, that's what happens.
There's
maybe
a lot of good players.
Maybe you'll get some shitty guys like Leroy and Kurt in your league this year. All right, so sorry, they don't listen. Wait, Leroy might. Anyway, well, whatever. So last question for you gentlemen. This is another email, and it says, I've heard over and over again that running backs dry up quick and all the good ones are being taken in the first two rounds, but I have to wonder how true is this. Look at all the warts on some of these early round running backs. We're going back to MJD, Ryan Matthews, Trent Richardson, a rookie on a bad team, Chris Johnson, who got, you know, he was a huge, you know, he was a bust last year where he got taken, and have we spoken about Marshawn a little bit, sorry, now I'm already swearing, a little bit, I'm not even drinking, but not to mention holdout guys like Forte or injured guys like AP, shouldn't DeMarco Murray be the fourth running back off the board this year? He seems like a potentially elite guy you can steal in the early second round. What are your thoughts on DeMarco Murray?
I take him in the 77 leagues when he's there. I don't take him that early, but yeah, definitely. High upside. You know, I'm a little bit scared because of Felix Jones last year. You know, I'm scared that the offense won't give him his touchdowns. But, yeah, it's not a bad – I agree with 95% of his letter.
All right.
Well,
you know what? Go ahead, Mike, real quick.
No, go ahead.
I'm almost
That's
out
fine.
Of time.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Well, guys, I apologize. I have to cut you off, but this is pretty much the end of the show. Unlike Balky, I'm not as good at ending this stuff. So that's it. I want to really thank you guys, Mike and Joe. You guys are awesome. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm going to let you guys go real quick while I let everybody go here. So thanks
for
having
us.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. All right, that's it for the show tonight. Coming up in just a few minutes, we have Red versus Blue, baby, with the picks for the Pros versus Joes Challenge. Scott Atkins, Mike Trent, thanks a lot. We're out of here.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com that was broadcast live and heard around the world. Eric and Dave will be back next week with more analysis, interviews, and advice from a guest much smarter than they are. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again next week.